Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
So welcome, Josh Whiteley. Amazing. It is really, really great to have you here. You are a trained acupuncturist and Chinese herbalist. You're trained in the healing services of Vashtu, which is known as Vedic Feng Shui, and also Jyotish, the Vedic astrology. And your work has combined these ancient traditions and brought them into play and for us in these modern times. So looking forward to how you're going to be sharing that and handing it over to you.
Great, thank you very, very much. Very happy, very honored to be here with all of you and to share this subject. It's something that I love quite deeply and have a lot of fun with. And I think that there's a lot of nice practical ways to integrate principles of this science into your everyday life. And I know that this channel is specific to creativity, so we're gonna gear a lot of it towards things that will help you increase creativity in your life. It was funny kind of, putting this together and putting this presentation together, I realized this is such a vast science and there's so much that we could go into. We could spend hours and hours and hours and hours on this. We only have a small chunk of time. So really the kind of biggest part for me was figuring out how to whittle this down into kind of a more usable bite-sized portion that would give you guys all, some real practical things to integrate in your lives, as well as have a little bit of the understanding of what's happening and how this works. And my biggest hope is to sort of empower you to sort of see not so much the information in the sense of that we just want to take it in as information, but that we can actually embody this and think our way or feel our way through this process. Vastu is an interesting science in that, it was developed in India and it's thousands of years old. Now that we're kind of tending to bring this back into the modern age, the biggest thing is figuring out how to integrate this in a way that's very practical. And particularly as we, those of us like me who are in Western countries, to understand the essence of what the ideas are trying to communicate. And maybe not so much always the real, sometimes you pick up the old textbooks and they'll say, things about the meanings of certain things, like maybe a cow or a buffalo that comes into your backyard, or, these things that may not be a part of our modern life, or if we live in big cities, right? So understanding the essence of what Vastu is trying to teach us is a great way to integrate this science in a very usable way in the modern world. And that's a big part of what I feel very passionate about is understanding the deep roots of these things, but also figuring out how do we make these as practical as possible. So they're not just this more theoretical thing that exists out in the ethers that's very interesting, but something we can actually bring into our lives. Just for a little bit more background to you, thank you, Renee. I am an acupuncturist. I've studied Ayurveda and Vastu Shastra, which is often called Vedic Feng Shui, and Jyotish, which is Vedic astrology. And these are all amazing sciences in and of themselves. And the beauty of these sciences is that they're also all very integrated into each other. So you know, I'm a chronic student when it comes to this stuff. And so you start to dip your toe in one of these sciences and you're going to see how the other ones sort of tie into it as well. And knowing a little bit about Ayurveda can be very helpful for your Vedic feng shui practice. Knowing a little bit about astrology can also be helpful in that way and vice versa. So it's a vast field that all also is very interrelated and interlinked. And I hope I can share some of that with you. I've been doing this for going on maybe 15 or so years, and I find great joy in doing it. So I'm really happy to be here to share some of that with you. So without further ado, let's dive in. I'm gonna see if I can pull this up and screen share it. So I need to do share screen, I'm assuming, right? Okay, here we go. Okay, and I hope you can see this. I'm gonna switch it so it's a little bit bigger too. All right. Is it working? Can you guys see this?
Sharing, yeah. But maybe you want to put it on presenter view or?
Presenter view. Is there a, how do I do that?
Slide, go to view maybe.
So if you do you see the share button in yellow, and then right next to it you can see the present button? You see that
share button in yellow,
top right it says to the left it says present with the, like a play button.
Yeah, so just
move the arrow down just a little bit more.
Share button.
The
share tab
right there.
Yeah, and then take the mouse to the left.
Left.
And then up, and then bring your mouse up a little bit. It's just up.
There you go.
Right there.
You got it.
There you go. You're
that's
on
the present button.
It's just showing the pictures of you guys' faces. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, the other way to get to that is if you go to a file.
File.
You can minimize our faces.
You can, yes.
Yep. If you go to the top and click it, and then you'll see.
How's that?
I see my screen. I see Firefox at the top of file, but that's Firefox, yeah.
So there's another way to do the same thing. So if you go to, I believe if you go to file. And click on it.
On file,
for like file on Firefox?
You're talking
your Google slides.
Okay, get my Google Slides. Let me make this smaller again. Maybe it'll help.
Yeah, that might help.
Okay, so file. Uh-huh.
And actually, sorry. So it might be under slide. Sorry, it's been a little bit since I've done this.
Okay.
Last one, view. Go to view. I know it's in here somewhere. There's
theme.
Another way to.
Anything change theme?
No, I don't think you want to change theme. You want to change the view. So maybe go to view or can
view
you not
present. See there we go. View present right there. Yeah. You got it.
That good?
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right, we made it.
Well,
you need to select.
You need to click on it. So go back to view.
Back to view?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then click on present. There you go. And so now we know also for the future, it's command enter. Yeah, so click present.
How's that look?
Not coming up, but you know what? Let's just troubleshoot here. You can still move through the slides without going into present mode. So you can just sort of click.
You can see the slides move?
Yeah, we can still see them.
Okay.
Yeah, you're doing great.
All right, we'll just truck on ahead. Okay, so Vastu, just to put it out there a little bit, Vastu is the technical term. I often use the phrase Vedic feng shui just because the word feng shui is a little bit more known, but just to avoid maybe any confusion, Vastu would be the technical term we're using here. So this workshop's a lot about creating the physical environment to raise your creative potential. So there's a number of areas I want to cover here. Again, we only have a limited amount of time, so we could do this forever and ever. So I'm gonna try to keep it pretty practical, but I'll just give you a quick background really quick on Vastu, the connections with Jyotish and Ayurveda, And then we'll do a little bit of an exercise for centering, and then we'll get into the planets and the directions and the elements and that type of thing, which is the fun part. And then some of the principles for increasing creativity using Vastu. And then what's just another fun part is when things don't always go right. So we have some remedies and rectifications we can make. And then if there's some time, if you guys have any questions, feel free. I'm gonna try to keep an eye in the chat too. If you have something really pressing or if I'm talking too fast, just let me know too. So we'll dive right in. I'm just gonna start with a quick little prayer. You feel free to join me if you like. If you don't, no worries. But this is, it's always nice to start any sort of study of the Vedic sciences with a prayer to the Guru. So, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So with that, we're just asking for the blessings from our teachers and gurus. So Vastu is, like I said, it's an ancient science that goes back thousands of years. And it comes from the ancient Ayurvedic or Vedic texts, and the root text being the Atharva Veda. Many different books have been written throughout history, but this is kind of the root where they talked about the creation of cities and temples, the proper placement for houses, where water bodies should be in relation to the houses. And a lot of this can be a little bit, like I said, etheric and hard to understand the reasons why. And partly this comes from, you know, spiritual reasons, but also very practical reasons, you know, where they would have bathrooms and things like that shouldn't necessarily be so close to where you're also sleeping and things like that. So as modern sanitation has come around, that's changed a lot of things. So some of these will be very practical and some of them may not make a lot of sense, but as we dive into the elements and their meanings and their relationships, some of that will also be a little bit more clear. I always like to relate Vastu to as a tool. I call it the yoga of space. So by space, I mean physical space. And what we're doing here is drawing this connection between the macrocosm or the outer universe and the microcosm or the inner universe. And in the Ayurvedic sciences, that relates to our physical body. So a lot of the Ayurvedic medicine is about how do we take care of our body? How do we take care of the physical body? And how that relates to the macrocosm or the wider universe. And with Vastu, we see these same relationships too. So we have a relationship not only to the physical body, to the physical space, to the bigger universe, but that also comes back the other way. So affecting one of these pieces is going to affect the other piece. So when we make changes to our houses and where we live or our businesses, we're having an effect on our physical body as well, on our mental and emotional body. So that's a lot about what Vastu is here for. And I also always like to use the analogy of the house being sort of an antenna on a TV that maybe channels this energy from the universe and helps it to circulate freely through our houses. And then that also affects us on the physical level as well. Vastu is very much also a, like I said, a simple thing. And I always relate this idea of using your natural gut feeling about a space. So we've all had this experience, right? Where you walk into a space and you just right away, you just know what's gone on there, what maybe hasn't gone on there, and whether that space is a healthy space or an unhealthy space. I like to have people often practice this by going into other people's spaces or buildings or businesses, right? And using this. And the reason for this is sometimes it can be a little bit difficult for us to see our own space and kind of in an objective way. So by stepping into other places, you know, we often that gut feeling comes a little bit quicker and a little bit stronger, right? If you've ever, I'm sure, walked into a house and just got that feeling like, this is not a place I want to hang out and be around too long, right? Even if there's nobody in there, there's just a certain feeling about this space, right? And then vice versa too, right? We've all been into a space where you just feel really good, right? You walk in and you feel comforted, you feel, you know, the presence of good energy in that space. So this is intuitive level of embodying Vastu, and learning to work with this energy is how we become better Vastu practitioners for our own spaces and for our family and friends. So I often say, you know, we can read these books, we can understand it on an intellectual level, but really we want to feel this in our gut and feel it in our heart. And that will give us the most accurate picture of what a space is like for us. And when we are having issues and our problems in our life, having more knowledge and being more tuned into that, I guess I should say heart knowledge, is going to give us a better idea of what we could do to maybe affect or change that space if we need to. And since this conference is about creativity, always any way we can increase our creativity is going to be really helpful. So, and just one more little piece here. You know, it's interesting back, you know, back in the day, Vastu practitioners were often architects. So a lot of this not only was about creating the house, but looking at the land that you were building your house on. And they would do things like test the soils, test the type of wind that would come through, right? All these different ways of seeing how the environment around the house would affect the house. And there's a lot of ways you can look at different omens and things happening in the area around your house to get a sense of what that house is going to do regardless of how you build it, right? So we look at the individual house, and then we look at the plot of land, and then we look at the city, and then the country, et cetera, right? So this is a science that can go deep, deep, deep and get more and more microscopic, and it can also get broader and broader and broader. We can even look at countries, right? So we, if we use the United States where I'm at, for instance, there's a couple really nice things that show wealth and prosperity. And one is we have the Great Lakes in the Northwest area of the country, right? So having a big body of water on the West, or sorry, not the Northwest, the Northeast or the Eastern side of a country is always a very, very good indicator of the potential for wealth. India is another example of kind of an opposite, right? So the Himalayas are up along the northern stretch of India. It's often not seen as such a good thing for wealth. It tends to block the natural flow of wealth, right? So, and then India also comes down to kind of a little bit of a point at the bottom for you, those if you don't know the shape, which would be kind of the opposite which you'd want for wealth. So India is a very poor country in a lot of ways. But that expansion to the north, what the benefit they do get is that's the expansion of spirituality. So there's a very deeply woven spiritual culture in India. So we can look at houses, we can look at countries and cities and all kinds of things. So it's a fun thing to do. Vastu itself, the definition is a dwelling place. And it's a very simple definition, right? So, but we tie that into not only the material that was used, but the place that it's sitting and how that material is accumulated and put together to create these spaces. So this is just I just put this in here. This is an astrology chart. So a lot of times Vastu practitioners also have a deep knowledge of astrology. So that can be an important piece here too. Okay. So real quick, I just wanted to do a quick little grounding exercise kind of along these same lines. I wish I could see you guys, but it's okay. Okay, so what we want to do with this is using this kind of, like I was saying, this sense of embodiment to understand the space we're in. And I find this a very helpful and practical exercise to do with trying to determine your space right off the bat. So what would be great is if we'll just spend a minute here doing this, but you just want to sit with your back as straight as you can, be in a comfortable position. If you like, you can turn your hands up towards the sky. This just creates a little bit more openness. And just watch your breath. And you don't have to do anything major with it or alter it in any major way, but just pay attention to it. And watch as you inhale, and watch as you exhale. You might notice that even by just doing just that, your breath is going to alter a little bit. And it should be a little bit more gentle, a little bit more relaxed. Just bringing awareness to the breath itself changes the breath. And then as our nervous systems kind of relax and settle into that, I can feel mine doing it already. We just want to pay attention to that settling. And now on your next exhale, just let it extend a little bit longer. Feel it down all the way into your gut. And as you inhale, just get a sense of that feeling of the deeper exhale and do it one more time, deeper exhale. Okay. And then you can let your breath return to normal. And just take note of that feeling that you feel in your gut, that kind of settled place. And kind of log it into your brain, what that feeling, that embodied feeling felt like. And the reason we want to do this is because that's the embodied feeling that will help us understand the spaces we're in specifically, right? So often what I'll have people do that are new to Vastu, or if I'm working with a client, is have them walk into a room that they want to check out and are curious about. Say maybe your bedroom, you could start there. And I'll just have them sit down either on the floor or in a chair, either way is okay. You can face east ideally. And do that breathing practice. I would do it for a few more minutes than we just did. And then come back to yourself and come once you've reached that deep, relaxed place. And then you can start to ask yourself these simple questions like I have up here. What is the energetic pattern that currently inhabits this room? And what specific activity is a space intended for? So you may, if we use that example of being in your bedroom, we know what the specific activity that's intended for that room is to sleep, right? And to rest. And then we just check in, what is the actual pattern that I'm feeling here? Is it a heavy feeling? Is it a restful feeling? Is it very light and airy? Is it a sharp, bright feeling? And do you have the walls bright yellow, right? And you can do this without judgment of that space, but you just wanna get a sense of what energetics am I picking up on? And we'll get a little bit more into some of those specifics in a few minutes, but just from your very, very gut, what is it telling you? What does this space feel like right now? And this will give you the way to address it, right? This is the understanding, the diagnosis will help us find the medicine. And then the second question you can ask yourself is, what works best for me and how do I need to feel in order to perform this activity well? So in the case of sleep, what do you need? And this is where it gets a little bit more specific to the person, right? So we all know we need to sleep, feeling rested is good. But when we use the science of Ayurveda to analyze this, we're all different, right? Each of us is an individual and has a different maybe frequency or wavelength or way that prana flows through our body. So are you the type of person who's a very naturally heavy person and a very maybe sluggish and grounded person? Do you have a hard time getting up in the morning? Do you like to lay in bed and eat popcorn and watch movies all night and stay up all night? Or are you a very maybe kind of floaty person, hard to kind of settle down? Is it hard for you to fall asleep? Do you sleep poorly and wake up throughout the night? Are you very, what they would call an Ayurveda pitta type person? Are you very fiery and very emotional and tend towards irritability and anger and things like that, right? So if you pick up on these natural qualities about yourself, you can then put that piece together with the space itself and see how well that matches, right? So if you are this very kind of sluggish and tend to lethargy and just kind of like to relax and kick your feet up type of person, it's a great quality, right? But in terms of sleep, maybe that's a little bit too much if we had a very heavy and grounded room and a very dark cave-like structure, right? You may be spending a little too much time doing that. So we can use this analysis to not only work out the energetics of the room, but how you sit in that room and how that serves you best. So this is a very, very helpful practice. I would say do this in each room in your house. And you probably shouldn't do it all at once. Pick one day and do one, and maybe a few days later do another room and take some notes and get a sense of what it feels like for you. And just sit with that. You don't have to even necessarily have the solved answer in that moment, but just sit with that feeling and sit with those patterns and see what you notice, right? This is also the case where it can be really helpful to go to somebody else's house for the same reason, and that your radar is a little bit more objective in that sense, right? When you get really used to what you're used to, sometimes we don't see ourselves clearly, right? So I like this exercise a lot. It's a very practical one to use. I'd also recommend using it, really easy examples to maybe go to like a church or something, right? And go and sit in a church and just get a sense of that energy. What does that church feel like for you? And since this has to do with creativity, there's many ways to be creative, right? But we could say maybe an art studio if you're an artist, go sit in somebody's art studio and get a sense of what type of art are they creating and how does the space they're sitting in influence that? How does the building itself influence that? Is it encouraging that creativity? Is it possibly inhibiting? Are they having a hard time maybe getting artistic output if they're an artist, or is it a freely flowing, does it feel like a flowing river coming, right? And look at the space and try to get a sense of what role does the space maybe play in that, right? So it's fascinating. I do this all the time. When I walk my dog, I just glance around at the houses in the neighborhood. And, you know, I know some of my neighbors and some of them I don't, but I try to make an educated guess based on the house itself. I wonder what their home life is like in there, right? And sometimes I'm able to find that out and see if I can make these correlations, and that can be really fascinating. So this is a, you know, it's a fun experiment, a fun game, a fun way to increase your own creativity just by doing this alone. So try this on your own. So the next thing I want to talk about really quick is the elements of Ayurveda. We have five elements, ether, water, wind, fire, earth. I'm not going to go through every single one of these qualities just because we're a little bit short on time. But these are the primary concepts that you can kind of maybe take in and try to understand how those relate. You know, for instance, movement, openness, and expression relate to wind, right? That's a little more of an obvious one. But look at some of these characteristics and just get a sense for the relationship of the elements. These are the elements that exist in all things in nature, right? And some pieces of nature are gonna have a little bit more primary of a certain element as compared to another one. Now what we're gonna do with the five elements is we're gonna lay these onto the house. So this is where we're gonna start building this puzzle a little bit. I hope it's not too fast, but we wanna take the five elements, place them on the physical structure of a house to get a representation of how they influence our house. So that's what this next screen is going to be. So I just took all these same things and I related them to water, air, earth, fire, and ether elements. So this is the northeast up here. So the water element controls the northeast section of the house. Fire element controls the southeast, earth southwest, and air the northwest. So we have a natural proclivity for these elements to exist in these parts of our house. This also exists even in, you can break this down to a single room as well. So some people don't have the luxury of having a big house with multiple rooms to work with. You can use just your bedroom. If you're in a roommate situation or something, you can use your own room as a little microscopic compass of this. So each section of this house is going to pull certain characteristics in. And if you need to increase a certain characteristic in your house, you would increase that element in that corner. And we'll get into how you do that in just a few minutes. But typically, this is the layout. The ether is going to exist in the center of the house or the center of the room. It doesn't have a designated section other than just right smack dab in the middle. And then once we understand the five elements and how they relate to the house, we're now going to layer on the planets. This is a very confusing diagram. I tried to make it as simple as I could. So we have the four quadrants still here. These are the pink lines. So the water, fire, earth, air. And now we're-
Hold on. I'm just going to interrupt for 1 second because all we're seeing is the best to create the environment, raise your creative potential slide.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has the ones clicked in?
No, it hasn't clicked over.
No slides, just that one though.
Maybe just stop your screen share for a second and then start over. Well, if you click.
All right, let's just do the desktop share. Maybe that'll work better. Let's see if. Sorry, y'all. Okay, are you seeing this?
We can, yes.
You seen a colorful diagram?
Yes, mm-hmm. Much better, thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna try to expand it again. Let's see if it works okay.
Woohoo!
Okay, good.
Cooking with gas.
All right, so this one's a little bit more complex, right? So we have not only the elements here, but we have the planetary influences and how they influence our space too. So this is the correlation between the elements of Vastu in Ayurveda, as well as the planets of Vedic astrology. So it gets to be a complex puzzle, but we can keep it very simple too. So I've given a couple primary things that you can relate to each of the planets of the moon. Of course, it has to do with movement of energy, playfulness. The moon's a waxing and waning planet, right? So there's a lot of change that happens in this. It also relates a lot to our emotional body and our feeling body. So a lot of times when people are having issues, they're maybe stuck with their emotions, They're not able to express themselves well. They feel pent up, their relationship's getting tense, they're having a tough time with communication. I'll look to this corner and see, the northwest corner, and see what kind of issues might be going on in this corner. It's also a good area if you just need to stir up and churn your creativity, work on that, the moon corner, to help do that. And then some of these other ones as well, I have some other keywords here, right? So the north is ruled by Mercury. This has a lot to do with intelligence, wealth accumulation, things like that. So this is a big area to, if money is the issue that you need to be more creative, and maybe that means expanding your bank account creatively, then that would be the section to work on. And we'll get into a little bit more specifics in a minute, but I just want to show you this diagram so you get a sense of everything. Jupiter is a big, big one. Connection to the source, gratitude. This is the spiritual corner of the house. So we'll talk about that a little bit, of course. And then the primary one that we want to get into is the southeast, because this is ruled by Venus. And as some of you may know, this is the planet of creativity and the arts and music and sensuality and all the fun things in life and beauty, right? So the southeast area of your house specifically is one great, great area to pay attention to. And if you're having issues with that, it's a great, great area to pay attention to. So we'll talk a little bit about how to improve some of these areas so that we can make the best use of this. But maybe if you guys, I don't know if you'll get a copy of this or not, but either make a mental image of this or a screenshot or something of it so you can come back and look at it. And then get a sense of this map in relationship to your own house and see which areas do you feel like maybe there's some struggles in, which areas feel very good, and what makes that area very good, right? So we want to look at both the pros and the cons of this. Ayurveda is the medicine of opposites. So a lot of times we'll take, if we have too much heaviness, we're going to try to increase lightness. If we have too much hot, we're going to try to increase the cooling qualities. So a lot of these things are just about balancing these elements, and so that the energy flows freely through the building and then through your body as well. You can also even look at, you'll see this person kind of laid down. This is a Vastu Purusha. Certain issues with certain body parts, even, you may take a look at that part of the house. So if you have maybe a knee that's bad, a bum knee, right? Take a look at the southeast corner of your house and see if there's maybe some discrepancies there that could use some help. This is the head up here, feet down here at the bottom in the southwest. And just for a little clarification too, the nodes, this is a little bit technical, are the nodes of the moon. And that's all we'll say about that. So the nodes of the moon. Okay. Dang it. I'm just doing it again, huh? Okay, hold on. I might have to manually just go through these then. Huh? Okay. All right, are you seeing the screen with Venus? Or hold on, it's loading. Sorry, y'all.
It's all right. No worries, Josh. Sometimes this happens. I think the manual is probably the way to go. Let's see if you can click on the slide, and if you can see it, I'll let you know if not.
Okay, let me stop the share.
And if you wanted to share the PowerPoint, you can send us the link and we can share it with everybody, put it in the Facebook group.
Okay.
Yeah, happy to do that.
Because it's wonderful material you are showing.
Oh, I'm so proud of this slide. It's so pretty.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
Is this showing?
It's not at the moment, no.
Okay, hold on, let me reshare. I might not have actually shared it. Let me see. Okay, Firefox share. You seeing Firefox?
All right.
Okay, we see a portion of it, yeah.
So you can actually stay right there and we can see it if you want to go through that slide.
Hold on, it's loading. Let me just see if this works, and if not, I'll just go right back.
Okay.
No, yeah, okay. Okay, you can see this now, even though it's kind of not the best looking.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with it. Awesome. So we're gonna talk about the southeast corner first, since this to me is the most important one for creativity specifically, right? So, and this can work in all realms. Like I said, creating this, in my mind, I go to art because I've been an artist my whole life. I'm always like, okay, this is gonna be for artists. But really, right? We can look at creativity in any facet of our life. It could be creativity with, creating, a new business or creativity with, you know, improving your relationship, right? Finding creative ways to express yourself to your partners and things like this. So there's many, many ways to use this. And so I just wanted to give you a couple broad overview things that you can do. And I'd say, again, pay particular attention to the Southeast area. Since this rules the arts and music and all things about love, if you're having relationship issues, I had one client one time who had a bedroom in the Southeast corner. And you could see how that maybe could be good in some ways, right? It's a very like passionate, and there was lots of passion, but there was also, because it's a fire area, it also increases a lot of fighting. So this actually became a divorce, and it was a little bit too late before I was able to see this person. It was kind of a reconnaissance mission a little bit on their part. But having a bedroom in this corner, right, is going to bring more fire into your life. And for some people, that can be good. If they need more passion and more fire, that can be a nice thing, right? But if there's enough fire as it is, this may be a little bit of putting fire on fire, right? But the Southeast section, I always say, is the best area to have the most liberty with your artistic stuff with. So you can, you know, hang all your pictures, be a little bit crazy even with the colors you're using. Venus loves bright things and sparkly and shiny and exotic things, right? So using the Southeast corner in this way is a great way to honor Venus. It's also, being that it's ruled by the fire element, you know, this is a great area for entertainment, things that involve electronics, your computers, your TVs. You know, maybe, I don't want to encourage video games, but you got some kids who like to play video games, this would be a good place for that to happen too, right? So anything electronic goes really well in this corner. Being the element of fire, it's also a great place for the kitchen. But in terms of creativity, I make sure this corner is particularly has a little bit of flair to it. It's a very nice way to increase the Venusian influence. Venus also loves beautiful flowers, incense. I have a little Himalayan salt lamp in my corner there. So these are all real simple ways that you can bring this fire element if you need a little bit more of this more passionate version of creativity. I'm not gonna go back to the last slide because I don't wanna mess things up again, but remember that this rules passion, action, you know, drive, things like that. So if these are things that you need to bring a little bit more creativity to in your life, this would be a great corner to look at for this. I also always like to tell people to put your completed projects. So if you're an artist, put your artwork up in this area, or if you're, whatever it is, the work you're doing, show it here. And this will give that inspiration to keep doing those things. So when you start to see these things and see what you've done, that will then reignite that passion. So this is a wonderful area for all things like that. Okay, we'll move to the next one. How are we on time? Okay. We gotta kind of go though, okay. Next, we'll talk about the Northeast corner. So like I said, this is ruled by Jupiter. This is the corner of spirituality. So this is always a place to give reverence and a place to give gratitude. Typically speaking, it's going to keep this a little bit open and clear, especially of clutter and things like that. You want to make this the area where you visualize your teachers and your gurus sitting. So anybody who's very important to you, whether that's an actual guru or just a teacher, you can place pictures, you can make a small altar in the Northeast corner. Again, if that part of the house isn't available for that, you can use a different room for that, right? So this is the area that brings in that inspiration for us. Jupiter is the planet that tends to reward us and give us boons and things like that. So this is always the planet that everybody's saying, more Jupiter, please, more Jupiter. It's a very spiritual oriented planet. I like to have people hang a picture in this corner of, if you need inspiration, something that feels open, like a picture of a lake or a picture of an ocean or a stream is very, very nice. Since it's in the water element, this honors that element. Open roads, I wrote down also. Anything that's clear and open and allows your perception to be utilized in that way is the best way to use the Northeast corner of your space. Prayer, contemplation, all great things to have in this area. Maybe it's just as simple as a small, simple flower vase that has some water in it to honor the water principle, or maybe a small water feature even is a very nice thing. This creates abundance in your life. This is good for money flow as well as spiritual flow too. So it's a nice combo. We can get the best of both those things. So very important corner, Northeast corner. I don't know that I have much more to say about that. So let's keep going so we can get to everything. And then we talk about the Northwest. The Northwest is ruled by the moon. We talked about this a little bit before. It's a big, big area to move things since it's ruled by the air element, allowing movement through this space. It's a good way to maybe let loose in a way creatively. It's a nice area to dance in or to do some movement art or maybe your yoga practice if you practice yoga or Tai Chi, things like this. Having a little bit of coming and going in this area is good. It's I always joke that if you have a guest room, it's a nice place to put your guest room because that way they won't stick around too long. So the people will come in and then they will go. So you can even look at where you might place your bedrooms and things like that, right, in that case. The North is ruled by Soma, which is rules all things money. So I always encourage people, and most of us are have no issue with this, of trying to increase financial abundance in our life, is to utilize particularly the North direction to dedicate to your finances in some way. So ideally you would store your money if you have a lockbox or something like that, or a little cash box, like I made this little picture of, have that in the north part of your either your room or your house. It's ruled by the, that actually particular, like we said, it's ruled by Mercury. So the color green is a great thing. That might just be a little splash of green. You can, if you want to go all out and find some green shade to paint the wall, even better, but a little splash of green or just kind of a, you know, a nod to Mercury is a great way to also imbibe this piece. Facing north is a great thing to do for intellectualizing. If you're a writer, if you need to write some emails or you're making a blog, things like that, facing north is said to be the direction that will help you utilize that mental aspect of your creativity the most. So having a nice open northern area in your house in general, windows in the north, always a great idea if you can. That will bring in more of that energy of creativity in the more intellectual realm. Some other things here about medicines, we won't get into that just because of time, but hopefully you're able to read some of this and listen to my blah, blah, blah at the same time. But this is a great corner. Use this northwestern part of the house to keep that energy flowing. So the southeast, we do a lot of our kind of inspiration in the sense of sensuality, the actual expression of our art, things like that. The Northeast has a lot to do with gratitude, of giving thanks for this creativity that we've been offered and are channeling, hopefully. And then the air corner is a lot about keeping that energy moving, keeping the prana circulating through the house and or the building. And then the last corner we'll talk about is the earth corner. It was interesting to come up with this one because it's a little bit more not so clear. Because it's the earth element, so it's very heavy, it's hard, it's not necessarily what I think of as something to create movement, right? But sleep and rest is a big part of this creativity, right? So we need to allow that downtime. If we just go, 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 we burn right through our energy, we burn right through our creativity. Getting good rest is so, so important. I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner, so I'm always pushing people to sleep better. And this is the area where we do this part of the puzzle, where we come into our internal selves, where we rest, condense, allow our dreams and projects to find their flourishing from our subconscious. So I always have people sleep towards the south. If you need a better night's sleep, sleeping to the south is the best direction. If you do just want to increase your creativity in a healthy way, you can also sleep with your head to the east. So a lot of this is about rest in this corner and kind of coming back to the ground. The south wall is a nice place to put relatives and your lineages that have passed as a way to honor and be inspired by them also. So pictures of family members that have passed, you can put on the south wall. Okay, and I just wanted to show you a couple fun pictures too. I just found these randomly online. So they were just kind of, I took my first, you know, glance at them to get a sense. So I find this picture very interesting, this one in the corner here. And there's a lot that's great for it, right? It's a very clean space. It's very organized. It's got some plants. It's got that green, which is that mercury color, which helps with intelligence and thinking and processing and communicating. But the thing that really stood out to me the most, and I don't know if any of you will see this, is look at how the ceiling is curved, right? So it kind of comes into this pointed thing. It's got a flat top, but then pointed. So when we look at spaces that we want to have free-flowing energy in, this is going to create sort of an eddying of energy, or kind of a you know, it changes the way the energy is flowing. So if I sit with this space and I look at it, I can feel that in my body, how I would actually probably have kind of a tough time, as beautiful as a setup as they have there, I would have a tough time kind of concentrating or being clear with my thinking, that the energetic effect of that ceiling like that is just going to kind of crunch in a little bit. So it's not necessarily the best shape for a room like that, that to do that type of work in. But sit with a picture like that. You can even look around on the internet yourself, find some pictures and just get it. See if you can find these this natural sense of how a space might affect you. I also found this one over here, which is an art space. And this is for all you artists out there. I actually really like this space quite a bit. What I like about it is she's got these nice, beautiful, beautiful windows, right? They're big, big windows. I'm not sure what direction that's facing. We could just say probably north and be happy with that, which will bring in that inspiration, brings in that natural light, which is very, very important, particularly on the north and the eastern side. A little bit messy, right? But artists are a little bit messy sometimes. But what I like is that she's very organized. She's got this table structure. She's got her supplies out and things, right? But it's fairly neat. If you know an artist, right, it can be very, very messy sometimes. This is actually a very well-placed space, I would say, in general. It gives her a little bit of that artistic freedom to lay things out, yet is still organized and condensed in a very clean and clear way. So I like this space quite a bit for an artist. These are very interesting pictures to me too. So we look at these two rooms, right? And this is about temperature. So I would look at this first room and say, you know, how would I feel in this room? It's a beautiful room, right? Beautifully decorated, very, very, looks very nice, clean, but that blue, right? So in my mind, I see this and I feel very cold. So if this was an office, if I had to come to a meeting and at this desk with this person, I wouldn't necessarily have the best feeling that there's going to be warmth and communication in that way. I feel like I might even be a little bit pallor and a little bit down and not able to clearly get across what point I needed to get across, right? So it's a little bit of a heavy or a cool space. So it wouldn't necessarily, this looks like probably an office, right? It wouldn't be the area I'd like to sit in for too long and try to come up with ideas about things or to try to communicate with people. I see it as a little bit of a sullen space. As gorgeous as it is, really, I would probably make some big changes to that blue and try to bring in a little bit more lighter colors and a little bit more life in that way. And then this room, this red is, you know, it's a beautiful space. This looks like the living room. I would imagine this is going to be a very, can you imagine maybe what kind of conversation happens in here though with all this bright, bright red, right? Could be some very fiery type things happening because of that red. It's a very, a blaze type looking room. So that could be a good thing, right? If you like these loud animated conversations and you have friends over, if there's already enough fire going on in your family, if you're maybe a big Italian family or something, right? It might be enough fire on top of fire in that case. They also get, you can see this kitchen's in the background, this big old stove, right? So there's a lot of fire in that space. Not the most relaxing and grounded space, but it could be a nice social space, you know, if you really want lots of games and conversation and things like that. And then I wanted to show you one more. And this is just another example of how spaces in our homes can influence us, right? So I found this picture and you can see this is a T-junction, right? So this road comes right at that house. And you can just imagine if you sat with that, what kind of energy do you think that would bring if you were in this house? Not very good, right? Like having that prana moving directly at you and just contacting you, bang, bang. I would imagine there's a lot of unhappiness in this house, a lot of depression, maybe even a lot of turnover. People might move in and out of this place. So things like that, even that's kind of what I was saying, the spaces around us also influence us. This room I love. It's got this nice yellow Jupiterian color, which is good for inspiration. This nice comfy couch. It makes me look like I would love to just sit there for hours and read those books and just learn everything in the world, right? So this is a nice, nice space for learning. With this bright yellow, which relates to Jupiter, wisdom, sciences, things like that. This is a really well done room. I like it quite a bit. So those are just some quick, simple ways how, you know, you can use your space. If any of you want the slides I made, I know we went a little bit fast through them. I'm more than happy to send them to you as well. And you can maybe go back through and read some of the more specifics about the spaces. But that's a pretty brief intro to what, like I said, which is a big, 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 big science. You could talk about this all day long. If you are interested, I just made this little slide. I do a lot of different work with people all over the world, really, through Zoom and, you know, practice Ayurveda, Jyotish, Vedic astrology. I do Vastu consults and I do those even distance as well. You just need video or pictures of the house and little light drawings like this one in the corner are very helpful too. So I wanted to make sure just to give a couple of minutes if there are any questions. I could try to get maybe one or two in.
There is a question here, Josh, and thank you so much. And it actually touches on what we were talking about before the session started. Do these directions apply for the Southern Hemisphere as well? So right, how does it translate?
So because this science was created in India, they didn't really have they didn't think about the Southern Hemisphere. So there's a lot of debate, and some people may see if I can find a slide that will show it. So, and I'd like you, Renee, to practice, to check this out and see what you think. So you would take this northeastern direction, the water element, and you'd put that into the southeast. So you would essentially flip this upside down. So now the head is going to be down here, and the fire direction is going to be up here, and the water is going to be here. Air is going to be here and Earth is going to be here. So you would essentially reverse that. And that's because of the magnetic pole of the planet. So again, this isn't a very explored thing because they just didn't have the intent to work this for the Southern Hemisphere. My teachers have often said that's the way you would do it. You'd flip it just like that. So, but it's something that could use a lot of, you know, just checking it out and seeing what you think. And that's, again, going back to my original thought with this Vastu is a lot of this you need to sit with yourself. Your truth comes from inside of you. So we can talk about these rules and they apply a lot of the time, but you know, Vastu says that if a space gladdens your heart, then it's good Vastu. So that's always the most important thing.
Absolutely. And I love how the space within the outer and the environment that we're in really informs, you know, those sensations within our body, you know, and then how we then relate to it and inhabit it. And so it's really great to be able to think of these things in a different way. And I certainly did with that little practice that you led us through. And it's great to think about these things in such a different way and bringing the elements in. And yeah, another question here. Just is minimalism important according to these schools?
It is and it isn't. Now, what we would look at in the case of minimalism is just enough, but not too much, right? And the different elements are gonna ask for a different amount of things. So in general, you would say the earth element being the heavy element is the area to have the most things. So large pieces of furniture, chests, dressers, large beds. Often we want to put more into the earth direction, whereas the opposite side needs to be the lightest. So the northeast part of the house, the north and east direction itself, actually, you would want to have the lightest amount of things, so the most openness. But again, just enough without being too much is good. If it's too minimal, then you get a little bit too etheric, right? So that might actually not be a balancing thing. If you're already floating in the clouds and maybe you're a Kundalini yoga practitioner and you know do all these kind of already etheric things, you're only going to increase that element more in you. So part of it is looking at the space and part of it is looking at your individual constitution and how those things interact.
And there's another question. What is your favorite thing to add to living space to inspire creativity?
My favorite thing to add to a living space, I'm a big fan of birds, so I like bird feeders quite a bit. And you can't go wrong with putting a bird feeder in almost any direction. I would stick one. I have one outside of my house. So I have an east-facing house, and I have one right outside. So that's always great. I also really like to put, if you don't have natural windows to the east, having a picture of the sun on the east side of your house is a great way to bring that sun energy in and that, that you know, to bring that vitality and that creativity. Fresh flowers always go a long way too. Nice little bouquet right in the middle of your table. Changes your mindset.
Thank you so much. We'll just wrap up there. Really enjoyed the session, Josh. It's been really, really wonderful. You sharing these ancient wisdoms and it's so easy to adapt into our modern world. You know, we can just take that time, create that space, and live a creative life, which is, you know, really what we're all here to do because we are creative beings. So Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We can continue this conversation and dialogue in the Facebook chat. We've got the live stream happening. We'll put all the details in there for Josh's contact details as well. And yeah, it's great to connect with the fellow attendees. So keep the dialogue going, build the community. And also, if you want to watch this again, then do you've got 48 hours. It's going to be up for 48 hours to watch free, along with other sessions. But if you want to upgrade, you're more than welcome, and that will help those that can't afford an upgrade to take in all these delights that have been on offer throughout the conference. So the link to that is also in the chat as well. So consider that, and thank you to Azul and Amara Pagano for bringing us this session on this channel. Josh Whiteley, thank you very much. I'd just like to invite you to share your top tip for being embodied, for embodiment.
And top tip for embodiment, I would say the breathing practice. You know, where they say where your breath goes, your prana goes. So if we can learn to direct our breath, we can direct our prana. So sitting with your breath, centering yourself, is the best way to be embodied.
And also that creates space within as well. So it's beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much, Josh. I've got so much out of it, and I'm sure everybody else has. And yeah, I look forward to connecting with you further. So thank you. Big waves to Tucson. And thank you, everybody, for coming along. And be sure to check out the other sessions. We've got Julia's coming up next on this panel, or on this channel rather, with Embodied Voice. So be sure to come back in an hour and we can take you through that. Thank you. Go well. Take care. Bye, Josh.
Right.